This special episode is part of our 2020 Chamber of the Year Finalist Series, where you get to hear from some of the top chambers across the country. I hope you find great value in this series, but first, the intro. This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now, your host, he loves to meet chamber professionals from all over. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to Chamber Chat Podcast. This is Brandon Burton, your host, and it is my goal to introduce you to people and ideas so you can better serve your chamber members and your community. This is episode 78 of Chamber Chat Podcast, and it also is our seventh interview in our 2020 ACCE Chamber of the Year Finalist Series. If you are new to listening to Chamber Chat Podcast, I would encourage you to check out our Get Started page, which is found at chamberchatpodcast.com/start. And there you can find some resources for some non-dues revenue ideas, as well as our free chamber podcasting guide. So if you've ever thought of creating a podcast for your own chamber, you can check out that resource there as well. Again, that's found at chamberchatpodcast.com/start. So our guest for today is Jim Parsons, and Jim is the Vice President of Finance and Operations and the interim CEO for the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber of Commerce in North Dakota. It's an organization of more than 2,100 public and private and nonprofit entities throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, and beyond. Parsons has been with the chamber for almost 20 years, starting his career in 2000 as a business service coordinator. Previous to that, he'd worked in banking and transportation. Jim has a Bachelor's of Arts degree in accounting from Moorhead State University. He completed his IOM certification, graduating from the U.S. Chamber's Institute for Organizational Management in 2012. Jim and his wife, Michelle, are both natives of North Dakota. They live in West Fargo and have 5 adult children, 10 grandchildren, and 2 dogs. In our conversation today, of course, this being in our Chamber of the Year finalist series, we'll be highlighting what makes the Chamber of Commerce of Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo stand out to be recognized as a Chamber of the Year. And I'm excited to get into this discussion with Jim as soon as we get back from hearing from our sponsor. Chambers are not considered for Chamber of the Year without having great programs and steady streams of non-dues revenue. I want to introduce you to a great affinity program from Swipe It. In partnership with Chamber Chat Podcast, Swipe It is one of the best credit card processors in the business. With the Swipe It Affinity program, you can save up to 40% on your credit card processing fees at the Chamber and help your member partners to do the same. Chambers who take advantage of the Swipe It Affinity program can add thousands of dollars to their non-dues revenue annually. Please visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc for more information and to request your complimentary cost savings analysis from the experts at Swipe It. The first 20 chambers to respond will qualify for free equipment to get set up. Again, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/cc to start swiping with Swipe It. All right, Jim, we are back. If you would, take a moment and say hello to all the chamber champions out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Well, thank you, Brandon. I want to say hi to everybody out there in the chamber world and hope things are going well for you all through all this stuff. Interesting, I'm probably not the most interesting person, but as you had indicated, Brandon, I have been with the chamber 20 years, actually this year, and served under 3 different CEOs. One of the things that I think most people, if it's interesting or not, would say that I can't say no. And I don't know if that's a fault or a credit, but the one thing that they did give me one day was a little sign that said, please let me stop everything I'm doing and work on your problem. And that's probably fitting, as I showed up on my desk one day, and it's kind of where I've been in life is, and that's probably why I fit well in the chamber world, is I want to help people, help members succeed.
That must be why you were so easy to get on the podcast too. You're just like, I just can't say no. that's great. Now that's definitely that servant heart that puts you in the right spot in the chamber world. So you belong there. Why don't you share with us a little bit more about your chamber, your organization, the size, location, budget, staff, just give us all a better idea of kind of the perspective that you'll be bringing to our conversation today.
Well, as the name says, Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce, we're a combination of actually three chambers that have merged over the last 25 years. First being Fargo and Moorhead in 1998, and then in 2010, another chamber, West Fargo, joined the group. So we've become that regional chamber. So now there's only one chamber in our region. As said, we serve more than 2,100 members in a population of about a little over 200,000 in our region as far as individuals, people. We have a staff of 15 currently with an annual operating budget of $2.9 million. So hopefully we do a good well impact. The one thing that we do sit is we have, you know, you said that we're North Dakota, but we're actually Minnesota. We represent both Minnesota and North Dakota with Moorhead, Minnesota, and Fargo and West Fargo, North Dakota. So it does provide some interesting dynamics in what we do, but that's kind of where we're at with our chamber.
All right. Minnesota. Should have done better background on that, but thank you.
No, that's okay, because that's one of the things that we work with is, you know, a lot of people know Fargo, North Dakota from the movie and different things, but we sit right on that border as some other cities.
And now you're saying that, I remember checking it out and seeing that you guys were right on the border there, and I had an oversight there, but thank you for that. So as a lot of the listeners know, when you submit the application for Chamber of the Year, you include a couple synopsis about your chamber, some of the programs that you guys are doing. Could you take us through and highlight what you guys submitted on your synopsis with your application?
Right. And with the application, there was two synopsis that were asked for. One of them, first one that I kind of mentioned, is a program that we started in collaboration with the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development Corporation. It's called Fueling Our Future, which is a joint venture that was spearheaded by our previous CEO, who passed away in December of 2019. So I do have to give great credit to him for his leadership. He was a chamber president here for 10 years and had many great ideas. But this was one idea that was born from him. And it was probably 3 years in the making. Originally, we were going to do this by ourselves, but finding that collaboration is sometimes the best way on a regional basis to work within our business community. So we collaborated with the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic. The premise of this was that there's a lot of efforts that take place to help the region as far as in the business community, and they're all done individually. The premise for this was to take it into one location for ideas to be born out of and make our community better. And the premise, the pillars that were decided with this were people, prosperity, and place. People meaning our workforce and our human capital, prosperity being the business development in our communities, and place is like infrastructure, what needs to take place to make our community better, whether it's a convention center or performing arts center or something related to that. So it started with a campaign, and our goal was to raise $4 million. Three-fourths of it were, and it was going to be a private-public effort where we were looking at three-quarters of it as public money, or excuse me, private contributions, and one-quarter of it public contributions. And there was a lofty goal for a first campaign, and we actually did raise $4 million, and it fell within those three quarters and one quarter. So identifying the approach to tackling the communities, we hired a consultant to do this. And what we found in this first segment of this was that our needs, our critical issues that we had in our community, as everybody else has in their communities, or had in their communities, I should say, pre our pandemic, was workforce and career readiness and the skills gap. So that was one of the areas that we've worked and looked at. The other, which has been a long time objective of ours for the last at least 9 years, was flood protection, because we've been prone to flooding, and we've been working on a flood project for a long time. And then, so one of the efforts that that a couple of the projects that have come out of there is we were looking at working, putting together or assisting one of the local universities put together what's called Career Workforce Academy. And so we've been behind that effort. Now being in North Dakota, Minnesota, the Career Workforce Academy was started in Fargo, North Dakota, but Moorhead, Minnesota also had the opportunity. So we've been working on both sides of that, because we are a regional chamber to help that that effort on both sides to have a Career Workforce Academy. The other thing, one of the other projects that we've really focused on is called a Certified Shovel Ready program. This is the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development has kind of brought forth this, so that as businesses are looking to work with our area and start their businesses here, we have certified locations that they aren't ready. They don't have everything access as far as water, sewer, or gas or whatever, but all the documentation has been taken care of so that they can, so to speak, shovel ready. So in essence, it's document ready, but businesses are ready to come here. And we're also looking at what's called Campus FM, which is an offshoot of what Philadelphia had with it, Campus Philly, where to try to retain college students as they're graduating. The one interesting thing with Fargo-Moorhead is we do have three primary universities and two secondary universities within our community. So there are probably roughly 40,000 students in our community that we'd like to retain as jobs go. So
I wanted to ask you maybe a follow-up around the workforce, career readiness, and filling that skills gap, being that you guys kind of straddle the border there between Minnesota and North Dakota. Are you getting involved with the public schools, or are you focusing primarily on the secondary educations, the universities?
Yeah, we are getting this. The Career Workforce Academies is tailored toward the K-12, as far as to bring them in and fill those skills gaps and get them prepared. So whether it's a career with welding or HVAC or something, so that career kind of works hand in hand on both that the secondary and the high school.
So is that multiple school districts then that you have to
work with? Yep, there's multiple school districts, because we're not only looking at Fargo-Moorhead's school district, we're also looking outside. We have some communities outside of our area, their school districts, like smaller schools. So we want to be able to bring them into our community. Again, it's a regional approach and not just Bartlett-Moorhead. So there are schools that are in our outlying area that even 30 to 40 miles out that would participate in this.
Okay. So if I understand right, the Fueling Our Future program, or you know that part of the synopsis, was it's about the capital raising, the public and private capital. You've got the workforce element, you've got the flood protection, you have the shovel ready, or the infrastructure almost is what I'm seeing that as.
Correct.
And with the Career Workforce Academy, all being able to better your community for a better future is how I'm seeing that.
You are correct on that one.
All
right. Very correct. Now, I'll go on to the second synopsis, which is a program that it's called, we have a program called Women Connect, which was started in 2014, actually, where it is born out of community needs. So that we had several members approach us to start a professional women's program. To connect our area women's with networking, support, and tools. There's a lot of probably our networking events that are maybe geared toward male, but we had a lot of interest in, we need something for the women in our community. So this was started. It originally had started as something that we were going to have a small group of probably 90 women to promote their professional development, training, and connections. And it started off with a big celebration that we were going to kick it off with. And we ended up with 500 women attend that event. So the demand was so great that it's a monthly training and inspirational topics that our second event, we had 300 women. So I think our average every month is 200 women that attend these events. So with that, there was another thing that was started. It was called PUSH, which is a group. They're smaller groups to mentor women amongst themselves, and that actually started in 2016. And PUSH stands for Preserve Dreams, Unite Women, Shatter Barriers, and Have Heart. So that was started back in 2016, very, very successful. But the programs themselves, when we talk about for Women Connect, they feature local speakers to address personal and professional challenges of today's working women, recognize and celebrate the impact of women leaders have in our region, connect women of all career levels, strengthen their professional networks, and engage them in the business community. We also provide women with a safe place to develop their skills and to positively impact the work and personal life and embrace their goals and pursue their dreams. The Women Connect has been consistently one of our highest performing programs. Part of the reason that we looked at this as being part of the synopsis was 2019, where we typically have an annual celebration and bring in a keynote speaker. In 2019, we brought in Rachel Hollis. And with our typical event, that inspires women, we're looking at 600-700 ladies in the room, but found that it quickly grew to 900. So we had to figure out how to accommodate that 900 females. Well, when we go a step further, that the interest even got further, we ended up with over 4,000 women.
Are you serious?
Right. So now it's coming from a hotel ballroom to filling up one of our basketball stadiums on our university's floors.
That's awesome.
But the high energy that was brought, and this is no different than a lot of the even the smaller monthly events. It was just great to see. Now, as a male, and we have four males in our room that help work these events, it was a little daunting to us. The perspective of, I was asked to try to hold back a section of ladies because we had our keynote coming through there. And I did for a little bit, but to hold back 3,000 women, say, no, you can't go to the bathroom, was kind of, I said, oh, you're on your way. But the other thing that, but the feedback and the, that we got from, received from holding that particular event, you know, was second to none. Now, to better that, we'll see how this year goes. We do have somebody planned for 2020.
actually, cross our fingers.
2021. Yeah. And we'll see how that goes. The other thing that Women Connect also brings is every month we pick a charity as far as donations to, whether it's the YWC, the YMCA, Rape and Abuse, or some other charity that has needs. That's something we also, in 2019, there was over 2,000 items collected for 13 organizations. So that's another purpose for this is for the community need. Going back to the push groups that I had mentioned earlier, what we have is 402 women that belong to 58 groups, and there's 648 individuals on our Facebook group. So this program has been very successful for the last 5 years, and we can't see that it not continuing on. So,
I think there is such, obviously there's such a need for these, a group of women to be able to support each other and mentor each other and be able to further their career. And I know a lot of them are returning to the workforce after taking time off, maybe as mothers and things like that. So there's definitely a need, kind of flipping it on its head, I guess. I have a hard time seeing a group of men, a men's connect group having that kind of turnout. And I don't know. I think it just goes to show what that great need is there. And it doesn't hurt, having somebody like Rachel Hollis come as the speaker for the annual event. And I know my wife would have loved to have been there as well. So that would definitely draw a crowd.
Yep. And, right after, she was at this event, she just started building her following, and but she's got a great message, and that's the important piece, that we're providing that kind of level of personal training or personal inspiration to women in our community. So
what do you think it is about the Women Connect group that really got feet under it and got it to gain so much traction?
I'm going to give credit to our staff. We have two staff people in our on the event side of it. Tracy Powell is our director of programs and events, and Bobby Rader is our event coordinator who works with these programs. So they did a lot of research in the beginning to work with us. And as anything else, you need good volunteers. We have a committee, and I'm going to be wrong when I say this, probably, but committee of 10 that that help guide this every year. And with a committee, you have, they're wholeheartedly into this and believe in what this committee stands for, or this programming stands for. So that's where I'll give credit to.
That's awesome. So, as your chamber is being considered as a Chamber of the Year finalist, what would you say makes your chamber stand out among others, and maybe some things that you guys are doing that other chambers might not be doing?
Well, as we talked about, that we're both North Dakota and Minnesota, yeah. which has its challenges. So we have to be very mindful of the two different political arenas. As we talk about Minnesota and North Dakota, Minnesota's probably a little bit more liberal state and North Dakota's more conservatives. But it's, I would say that we navigate that very well because we are bipartisan. And so we have to take into consideration and be an advocate on both sides of the river because we have business on both sides of the river. So I think that's part of the thing that we do very well is navigate that piece of that. It's also, I need to give credit to our past president and CEO, Craig Whitney, who ramped us up from being somewhat an advocacy chamber to an extremely advocate. And that's where we ramp ourselves up quite a bit. So I would say that is with that, we also navigate, the three communities that the chambers, merged from and, and we have to be very conscientious, of those communities to make sure we're fairly, distributing events in there and working with those different businesses. And I think our staff is very conscientious and caring on that side of it, customer-centric, member-centric.
So right now, as we record this, we're late May and I'm hoping we're entering more of the recovery phase from the COVID-19 pandemic. But would you share some of your plans on how you and your chamber plan to lead your business community through the recovery, especially from the economic impact from COVID-19?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we transitioned ourselves into more of an advocacy chamber. So right now we are working, along with the Economic Development Corporation and probably 20 other organizations, there was the business COVID task force that was created, which is a collaboration of these businesses working on this. The first phase of that was the financial impact and how are businesses working through that? Are they going to survive? What programs are available, whether it's federal, which we worked with in the financial institutions to help with that and get the word out, the state, there are several on both sides of the river that have special programming. As you know, the restaurant and hotel industries were hit hard, so we're working on how to work through that with this group to whether it's educate them about information or find them the best solution to this. The next phase of this, the way that the economy is going to recover is consumer confidence. So that is our next phase with this group and with our chamber to make sure that we're communicating out whether it's best practices of chambers or, of businesses that, how to open their business, whether it's masks and disinfectants and all this stuff, we're looking to help them. And then navigate that through the states as far as finding those, in North Dakota, it's smart restart. That's not the right word for it. And, but it's how to, basically restart your business and get the economy going. So we're educating on that side of it. And again, until consumer confidence comes back when that'll happen. So we're staying on top of that. One of the things that we did do was collaborate with the CBB and the DCP on a appreciation effort for our healthcare and first line workers what's called Hospitality for Healthcare Workers, where we gathered some financial donations to help offset the cost of meals, which then actually help the restaurants. So we'll continue to do some of those efforts going forward until we're through this.
Yeah, that all sounds great. Sounds like you guys are filling the needs and constantly keeping a pulse on what those needs are. Jim, as we start to kind of wrap things up here, I wanted to ask you if you could share maybe one tip or one action item that a chamber that's listening can do to help take their chamber up to the next level.
Well, I believe, and it's probably not what I do, but is develop excellent communications with staff, with community, being able to have excellent communications. The other thing that I would think is kind of think outside the box and take risks. You know, at this time, you're going to need to possibly transition yourself into something different. One of the things that where we were at is we were at about 60% revenue for events, 40% on the membership dues side of it. Well, as we were going through this process, the events kind of
dried up, huh?
Changed. Yeah. Changed a little bit. Well, so we have to transition ourselves, things have been so kind of thinking outside of the box, transitioning yourself as needed to help your membership and businesses in your community. So,
very good. Now, I'd like to ask this question to everyone that I have on the show, but how do you see the future of Chambers of Commerce and their purpose going forward?
Well, I think, you know, there's always been this concern of relevance between chambers as far as the different generations. We go through the different generational aspect. I do think going forward, and is we have this opportunity to basically reinvent ourselves, especially during this crisis that we've been, because businesses are going to need us more than ever. So it's kind of that I do see us being that leader in the community again, and maybe people have kind of lost sight of us, you know, because there is so much technology. But I think going forward, that relevance, we're going to be seen as organizations that are working for our community and our businesses. So I think there's a good opportunity.
I think you're absolutely right. I think when times are really good, it's hard for a business to see themselves needing an advocate. And then all of a sudden when the world takes a turn and you know zigs the other way, all of a sudden these businesses are saying, hey, where's somebody there that can fight for me and that can keep me educated and informed and be a good advocate for me? So you're absolutely right. Right now is the time for chambers to really make their mark and prove the relevancy.
So, exactly.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you sharing these insights with us and you know with the audience. If you would please maybe share some contact information or best ways if somebody wanted to reach out to you and continue this conversation online or just follow up with any of these things you presented today, what would be the best ways for listeners to get in contact with you?
Right. My contact information, my email is jparsons@fmwfchamber.com. Would always love to talk with anybody if they want. Our number is 218-233-1100 if you want to call directly. Otherwise, you know, people can visit our website at fmwfchamber.com or on all of our social media at fmwfchamber. Look forward to talking with anybody that'd like to visit about stuff.
Good deal. And I will get all that updated in our show notes for this episode, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode78. But again, Jim, just thanks for spending the time with us today. And I wish you and your chamber the best of luck with Chamber of the Year.
Appreciate everything, Brandon.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry.